Radio.
Models of Youth Ministry, a talk by Michael Hart at the Australian Catholic Youth Ministry Convention in 2012.
I thought just looking at this whole question of what is a model, and this is the definition of a model. A model is a standard or an example for imitation or comparison. It's a representation or generally in miniature, you know, think of little models, to show the construction or appearance of something. It can be an image in clay or wax or the like to be reproduced in more durable material. A person or a thing that serves as a subject for an artist, sculptor or writer. A person whose profession is posing for artists or photographers. So they're all sort of definitions of models. I was tempted, as you can imagine, to bring some people up to be the models, as is the practice in youth ministry, to embarrass other people, but I've decided against that, being the dead zone and all that. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at what is a model, and then we're going to break open this question of models for youth ministry. Okay? Just a little bit about, you know, why am I standing up here? My experience in youth ministry all goes back to 1990 when I started as a employed full-time youth ministry worker. And for better or for worse, that's been my occupation for my adult working life. Most of my adult working life has been spent in youth ministry. It's a great privilege, let me tell you, that I get to wake up every day and I get to think about how can we, the church, reach out to young people in the most effective way that we can. That is a great privilege, and I thank God for it every day. I mean that quite sincerely, that I thank God that I get that opportunity. Prior to being involved as an employed youth ministry worker, I was part of a group of young adults, lived in community for a little while. We did retreat ministry and, you know, all these other things part-time. So my sort of youth ministry experience goes back to probably around, you know, like 1980-something. Which I now know is before many of the young people that I work with, before they were even born, or even a twinkle in their parents' eye, and probably before some of you were born. So that's okay. So one of the things I've learned over that time is that I've made lots of mistakes in youth ministry. Lots and lots of mistakes. Some things I look back and think, oh boy, you know. But hopefully I've learned from that. And I've tried to make changes to the way I go about my ministry to ensure that I don't repeat those mistakes. And one of the great gifts of being in ministry for so long is that I've gotten to see patterns emerge over a period of time. And sometimes patterns don't emerge. You don't see a pattern emerging for like 7 years or 8 years. So some of the stuff we'll talk about today is really a result of reflecting on patterns that I've seen emerge in ministry over a long period. And again, you know, when I say that, I'm not saying that to make myself out to be any sort of a guru or anything like that. As I said, I've made plenty of mistakes along the way, and it's been a great privilege, as I said, to stay in ministry when I'm sure there's times when myself and others thought, really, is ministry the area that you should be in, you know? But like I said, for better or for worse, I'm here, and I thank God every day for that. So one of the things I think about, when I think about youth ministry models, what I'm thinking about is a thing called a paradigm. You know what paradigms are? Yeah. The best definition of a paradigm I've ever heard, and I've always used it, is a paradigm is a bit like a window, looking at one thing through a particular window. And if you move to a different window in the house or in the room and look at it through a different window, you're still seeing the same object, but you're just seeing it differently. So what I'm going to show you is that I believe that youth ministry models are about different paradigms. So you can have different models all work at the same time. All right? Complementary. They don't have to be in competition. It's all about the different paradigm, the different window through which you are looking at your ministry of young people. Okay, let's see if that makes sense. So models present us with a range of paradigms that are not mutually exclusive. We don't have to be in competition that only this one works or that one works. So depending at what you're looking, which paradigm you're looking through, you could look at youth ministry or the ministry you're involved in from, say, an overall vision viewpoint. So So you start with what is our vision for this ministry, and we'll talk a bit about, more about that in a second. You might look at it from a planning perspective. Okay, so what's the way that we go about planning this ministry? So it's all about planning. It could be about organisational frameworks. So what are the structures we need to put in place when we're looking at this ministry, right? So what's the model we might put in place for this? Developmental patterns. We all know that young people develop in different ways, at different, whether it might be psychologically or spiritually. So let's look at it from that particular window. Okay. Maybe it's through systems theory approach. Okay, looking at the different systems that are in place and looking at youth ministry using that as our window, as our paradigm. There's a big push to look at ministry with young people through a relational paradigm. So saying it's about relationship building, so let's look at how relationships are formed and maintained and how they grow, and that might be the paradigm through which we look. And there are many, many others. Okay. So what I'm getting at here is that youth ministry stays is that object in the middle that you're looking at, and depending on the particular paradigm, the window through which you look at it, you might have a different sort of model that comes out of it. And you can have more than one model operating at the same time. And that's what I'm going to demonstrate to today. I want you to think about, and this is just for your own personal reflection, what youth ministry models you work out of. If I can use a life team example, there's a model already. For example, that's a model there. In fact, if you dug into it, Life Teen actually uses other models underneath it. It's really a program that uses other models. I think that'd be fair to say. Yep. So, but what models do you work out of? When you think about your ministry with young people and what you do, what sort of models can you name for yourself? How do you do it? What's your approach? Okay, can you think about that for a moment? Just take a minute to think about, are there a series of steps that I always follow? Is there a particular direction that I'm heading in? What is the model that I work out of when I work in my ministry with young people? And is it, can I name more than one? Can I name sort of a variety of models that I work out of? Okay, just hold on to that thought, and as we go through, we'll see what comes up, hey? Okay. Big fan of Loonig, Michael Loonig. This is one of his cartoons. I don't think, can you all read that? So there's a buffalo and a little baby buffalo walking along a winding track, and the young buffalo says to the father, "Father, why do we follow this same track every day? This track which meanders so strangely and turns and twists without apparent meaning, no rhyme, no reason. Why so faithfully, Father?" Father's response is, "Why do you ask?" Big thing about models. Models are there to help, not hinder, the development of our ministry with young people. Okay? So you shouldn't just be beholden to a model because it's always been there and always happened. You know, maybe you need to look at that model with fresh eyes. Different models can coexist. That's what I was saying before. Whether articulated or not, we are all working out of some youth ministry model. Okay, whether we can name it or we can't, there is some model that is in operation. Because we obviously have a goal that we want to see achieved. And naming our model helps us describe and share our methodology with others. Okay, what the method is of our ministry. Methodology is one of my favourite words because it just sounds, you know, it's just such a great word, methodology. Okay. Some models are more able to be replicated in different contexts. So, for example, school or parish or movement. In fact, I think it's a good example. If you look at a model and say this can be replicated, then that's actually a pretty good criteria for whether or not it's a good model. Okay? Older models can be revisited and refreshed for a new contemporary context. One of the models I'm going to bring up and show you today is actually a model that I first learned about when I started in youth ministry, right? So this is going back. And it had been around for at least a decade before that. Okay, so it's really old. Okay, models can reflect the charism and the ideology of the organization that it produces or adopts them. Okay, so a model reflects that. And no one model is the answer. All right. I used to, when I first started youth ministry, I would get that question. You know, look, Michael, there's a whole lot of different youth movements out there. I just want to know which is the best. And I'd say, right. Well, there's a whole lot of religious orders out there. I don't know. It's the same question. Which is the best? If I had, you know, people from religious orders in the room, they might say, well, ours is the best. I don't know if that's right, sister. Or Father sure. Chris, maybe. I don't know.
I never said that.
You always say it, do you?
You never say that.
No, because each one reflects a particular charism. Yeah. Each one reflects a particular charism. Each one's is called because of a reason. Youth ministry movements and organisations, it's the same thing. The Holy Spirit's working in it for a particular reason. So you can't go which is the best. So there is no one model. There's no one answer to everything. Okay, so we're going to use four examples. And I'm going to use these examples because they reflect a little bit of what I've talked about so far in terms of the types of things I've been discussing. First one, comprehensive approach. Hands up if you've heard that term before. Comprehensive approach to youth ministry. Couple of hands, not very many. Okay. So, comprehensive approach to youth ministry is actually the basis upon which the vision statement for this for Australia is built, Anointed and Sent. It's built on that comprehensive approach. It comes out of the States, going back to when they first started trying to build a vision for youth ministry. So back in the sort of 1976, the vision for youth ministry came out. 1997 is when Renewing the Vision came out in the States. And so for a number of decades now, the States have been looking at their vision and working out how do we implement this. So they've developed this comprehensive approach to youth ministry. So we'll touch on that. Pathways. Pathways is a approach that the Brisbane Archdiocese developed a couple of years ago as a way of describing the connection between children's ministry and youth ministry. And you might be sitting there going, well, why did you do that? Well, we did that because as part of a restructure out of our synod, children's ministry was joined to youth ministry, and we had to try and describe or develop a model which reflected that, and I'll go through that briefly. The wedge model of youth ministry. Anyone heard about the wedge model before? A couple of people on yet? Yep. That's the model that's been around for many, many years. And it's one that, when you look at it, it opens up a bit of your eyes to the fact that what we're doing, particularly in terms of gathering young people, getting them together, trying to form them in groups, that it's actually okay, or it's understandable that numbers start to drop off in our groups after a period of time. That's the wedge model. And finally, the youth ministry framework model is actually another reflection of something that happened in the Brisbane Archdiocese, where we had to try and work out a process for ministry with young people that was simple and easy, and I'll explain that to you. So they're the four we're going to use. As I said, there are many, many others, but hopefully this gives us a bit of a snapshot into youth ministry models. Starting with a comprehensive approach. A little quote from Renewing the Vision. Again, based on their experience. We also have learned that no one strategy, activity, or program is adequate to the task of promoting the goals of ministry with adolescents, and that families, parishes, and schools cannot work in isolation if the church is to realise its goals. We have learned that it takes the entire church to achieve the goal we have established for ministry with adolescents. Okay, so here's a model which recognises at the very beginning that it is not the only way. There is not just one way of doing ministry with young people. Well, going the wrong way again. An outline of the comprehensive approach to ministry with young people. It is goal-focused. So if you get a copy of Renewing the Vision, and if you haven't got a copy, I'd recommend that they're on sale there, I'm sure, or there's a flyer in your book somehow. Buy yourself a copy. What you'll notice is it's goal-focused. Comes up with the three goals and says that's what we're focused on. Okay, so it's goal-focused. And acknowledges that young people are not a homogenous group with uniform needs and desires. I always get a little bit edgy when people talk about young people want this and young people want that. And I think it makes them sound as though young people are all the same. And one of the things I've recognised in my time in youth ministry is that young people are like any age group. They have diverse needs, they have diverse interests, So just talking about young people as a homogenous group is quite dangerous. Comprehensive. Importantly, our proposal is that ministry with young people can happen in a range of ways. This includes the usual gathered formats, like youth groups, but it also includes non-gathered formats, like newsletters, one-off events, and home-based programs. So those terms, gathered and non-gathered, that's one of the big core things about comprehensive. Gathered, when we get people together in youth groups, non-gathered, things like things that you send out to them. It doesn't require them to come together. Why do you think that would be helpful in our contemporary context in terms of youth ministry? Why do you think that would be a good model for us to adopt? Anyone? Rural areas, absolutely. Reaching out to young people in rural areas, fantastic. Why else? Yep. So it's a way of reaching young people, that's where they're at. Yep.
Technology.
Absolutely. Another example, a non-gathered approach would be websites, social networking, Twitter feeds, all that stuff. It's all about reaching people. Doesn't ask anything of them. It says, here you go. Going out to you. Difference between the push and the pull. Okay? So you're pushing out these things. Here we are. This is what's going on. And yes, you obviously want them to come together. You want them to be in youth groups. But it also recognises that there's a need to do some of this out here. Young people, very time poor. Yeah, time poor. I've got a couple of teenagers and my kids are now in that time. And time is such a valuable resource. So to be able to have things that go out to them that doesn't ask a lot of them, that's valuable. Gathered and non-gathered, okay? So really simple concept, but makes a profound difference in what you do and how you do it. First thing I go into a parish now as an employee at a Dawson level, first thing I go into a parish, I don't go in and say, right, we're gonna start a youth group. No, don't do that. Because if I do that, it's only the gathered. What I say to them is, let's have a look at the needs, let's set up a youth ministry team, and that's the next step. Okay. Outline of comprehensive, it's a collaborative approach. It recognises that already existing responses play an important part in ministry with young people. It also presents creative new options that meet the ever-changing needs of young people in a contemporary society. One of the great things about comprehensive as a model is it says if you start by identifying what your goals are, this is our goals, and we'll come to those in a tick, if it says what your goals are, the first thing you can do is you can find other people you think might have the same goals, other organisations, other members in the community, groups in the community. And you can say, clearly, these are our goals for ministry of young people. We know they're similar to your goals. Maybe we can work on that together. Parents. You can work with parents on this in terms of saying to parents, these are our goals. I know they're your goals because parents want their kids to be involved, want them to grow in a healthy way. So let's use parents. Let's work collaboratively with parents. Okay. So it's a way of really being much more collaborative in the way we go about our ministry. The comprehensive approach is not a single program or recipe for ministry. Rather, it provides a way of integrating ministry with adolescents and their families into the total life and mission of the church, recognizing that the whole community is responsible for its ministry. You can see how this model is all about being comprehensive. It's not about that, it's not about this, not about this, I mean it's about this, the big picture. Okay, what does it assume? It assumes that youth ministry needs planning. It assumes that ministry works best when young people are involved in the planning, implementation, and evaluation. That youth ministry needs open communication. That youth ministry planning is an ongoing process that requires annual, long-range planning tied with the yearly overall parish planning, integrating in with parishes, yeah? Very important. Time for a diagram. Okay, youth group model starts with the group and asks others to join. It assumes that young people are similar, their needs are similar. It assumes that young people like to join groups. It assumes that young people are available at the same time. It assumes that one or few adults can meet the needs of the group. Okay. If all you've got, and don't get me wrong, I'm not bagging youth groups. I run the youth group in my local parish along with one of the other mothers, and I know what that's like, you know. But we try not to make it the only response we have in our parish. to ministry of young people. So we have other responses. Why? Because of this. We don't assume it all happens in the youth group. Comprehensive, on the other hand, begins with a team of adults and young and youth formed for ministry. Obviously, it assumes that young people have different needs, that young people like to choose how they want to be involved, that young people have hectic schedules, that many people doing a little can get a lot accomplished, that young people benefit from a variety of adults to relate to. I am sure, and I say this quite honestly, I'm sure there are some young people who have stopped coming to our youth group just because they don't relate as well to me as they did to my wife. My wife ran the youth group before me, you know? We're different people, you know? There are probably more guys coming now, or there were more girls coming when Jody was running the group. That's just one of the realities, yeah? So the model looks different, doesn't it? Team of young people and adults focused outward. So you start to see the model taking shape. Okay, instead of saying, come to us, it's like, how do we reach out to them? And one of those outreaches might be a youth group. One of them might be a newsletter. One of them might be a no-strings-attached barbecue you do once a term for all the young adults in your parish. Don't ask any of them. Just say, come along to a barbecue. We'll put it on for you. Just a way to keep connected. It might be getting young marrieds together and having a discussion with them about a particular topic or whatever. See, it's about doing things that respond to the needs in your local community as you see it, as your group sees it, as the team sees it. Okay. Goal-driven, like I said, and these are the three goals of Anointed and Sent. To foster personal and spiritual growth of each young person. To draw young people into responsible participation in the life, mission, and work of the Catholic faith community. And to empower young people to live as disciples of Jesus Christ in our world today. So in summary, comprehensive youth ministry is goal-driven. It thinks beyond just gathered approach to ministry with young people. It is about planning, about setting structure in place, and reaching out to the needs of people, acknowledging that they have diverse needs and that young people are not all the same. Okay, so the next model I'm going to talk about briefly is the Pathways model. And what I want you to imagine quite literally is a path. I want you to imagine that across the front of the room is a path, and the path is made up of stepping stones, dozens and dozens of stepping stones, right? That's effectively the model that we're talking about here. And in terms of ministry with young people, this model, the Pathways model, says that path is about the healthy development of people in their faith from birth through to death. Right? And this part, this chunk in the middle here that we're looking at, is about children and young people. Okay, so each element is a stepping stone on that path. So what the Pathways model is about is really about making sure that people develop in a healthy way. And I love Chris Morgan has these lots of these little cartoons about church and whatever else. And I love this one because, you know, obviously this rose bush is going really well, lots of flowers, it's very healthy. And this poor little rose bush, hardly anything. In fact, looks a bit like my mango tree back home. It's only got five leaves on it. And it's because the soil is not being prepared properly, and it's trying to grow up through a concrete path, and it's a bit, you know, whereas this has beautiful soil. So really Pathways is about saying, what are the things that we're putting in place to cultivate the soil, to make that growth happen effectively in people? So, in our context, we're talking sort of that age range of like 12 through to 30. And the Pathways perspective says that youth ministry builds on the foundations laid in childhood through the sacraments of initiation and children's ministry initiatives. So it builds on those. And that adolescence and early adulthood are important times in the formation of identity, relationships, and faith. And you can see the stepping stones, right? And so what Pathways does is it says, let's look at all the things that happen in a person's life all the ways that they're interacting with their faith and with the church. And let's just put them in each of those steps and see what that looks like. So in this case, you've got things like play groups back in early childhood, baptism preparation, the sacrament of baptism, post-baptism, state school RE, confirmation and Eucharist, catechesis of the Good Shepherd, kids clubs, post-confirmation, involvement in Catholic schools, children's liturgy of the word, penance, retreats, post-penance, secondary school, camps. And the question that we're asked when we look at the pathways, how can we build on the opportunities of faith development offered to children? So, again, it's looking at the developmental pathway. And it sort of says, well, there are a whole lot of different types of stones. So one of those stones might be schools. So you've got RE in schools, retreats, liturgies. Building on that further, to campus ministry, graduation ceremonies, maybe involvement in state school chaplaincy, social justice programs that happen in schools. So there's a line of stones that look like schools. There's a line of stones that look like sacraments. And you might go, well, here's looking at how that goes through in terms of the pathway. How do we build on that? Well, things like you starting off with penance, building on it to linking it to youth programs like Youth Cafe or Alpha or young adult programs, to vocations, marriage preparation. See, one of the things that the pathway, what it's trying to do is to say that faith is a lifelong journey, and what happens is when we start working with children at this end, particularly in terms of baptism preparation, what we're really doing is we're really working with their parents. Because at the end of the day, they're the ones who are understanding what's going on. So it's really that catechesis for them. So while the sacrament's there, really, in essence, a lot of the formation's happening here. And that's just the acknowledgement of the pathway approach. Look at liturgy as a series of stones. How does the liturgy assist in this pathway of faith? Involving the children's liturgy of word, older serving, readers, other liturgical ministries, youth liturgies, music ministries, Taizé-style prayer experiences. How do we make it sustainable? Some gathered and non-gathered things in there as well. What about movements? Where do they fit in? When do they start? How long are they involved in movements for? Lots of different things. What about being involved in leadership as a series of stones that people step on in that development? So involvement in leadership training programs, connecting them to parish pastoral council formation. What about events? Do you see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to build this picture that all these stepping stones, there's a whole lot of different stepping stones at different points. And what the Pathways model does is it says, we need to map that out and look at where there are gaps. Because if there's a whole section where there are no gaps on a path, you just don't go any further, right? It's about continuity of contact. So if there's a section when we have no contact with young people or very little contact as a church, what's the chances of them staying on the path? In a sort of significant way in terms of their contact with the church, okay? So it's about continuity of contact. That's a key for the Pathways approach. So are there any gaps in our ministry of children and young people, and how can we fill those gaps? Okay, we're on the downhill stretch now. There are a couple more models to go, and then we'll wrap it up on time. I'd love to have some time for questions at the end. The next model we're going to talk about is this oldie but goldie, and it's called the wedge model, okay, of youth ministry. It actually is based on the sort of understanding of the catechumenate process, the process people go through in terms of entering into their faith. Yep. And what the wedge model does is, I think you can all see that. I'll explain it to you as we go through. So what it does is it tries to sort of map out the sort of contact we have with young people. And it starts out in this first step here as relational ministry. And by wedge, of course, it's very obvious that it's a wedge, starting with a large number of people and working its way down to the core group. Okay. So if you've ever been involved in youth ministry and have started with an event where you had like 70 people come along to it, and then you form a group out of that, maybe it's a discussion group or a little sharing, faith sharing group, and the numbers start to drop off, and then they start to drop off further, and eventually you end up with this little core group of people who are really committed. But it's not like the 80 that came at the very beginning. And you wonder why we couldn't keep the 80. And what the wedge model does, it sort of says, well, it's because people are on this journey themselves, and they start off with this relational ministry, the ministry of welcome. And so events that might fit into that are things like that barbecue you have with no strings attached, just inviting people to come along. If you wanted to put some church language to it, it's pre-evangelization, okay? It's pre-evangelization. So it's really out there being present to people, meeting them where they're at. I don't know if you've ever came across this, but I certainly did. People coming to me and saying, Michael, we've got a youth group. We don't know whether it should be social or spiritual. And I go, well, does it have to be either? I mean, are you a social person or a spiritual person? You're a bit of both, aren't you? So that's the reality.
You can't separate.
It's the same thing, exactly. So you might have more social things and less spiritual things. In this stage, that might be what happens. The second sort of stage along the way is evangelization, is where you are introducing the gospel. The gospel is proclaimed. And it's intentional. You know, you're deliberately doing that. It's about the experience of community. So you might have that 80, and then in this next step, yeah, it's introducing more of the spiritual, and people are sharing more deeply. The third step, and this, like any model, is only as helpful as it is helpful. You know, it's not meant to be a must do 1, 2, 3, 4 in this order, and if you don't do it this order, it's not meant to be like that. This is just a model to give us an indication. And what it says is, there's a moment of recognition, sometimes described as the aha moment. Yeah? I can recognize in my own faith journey, being at an Antioch weekend, years and years ago, where I sat in a room before going to reconciliation, and there were a group of people around me, and there was just this overwhelming sense of love and acceptance. And I truly felt that just God's presence, you know? And it was an aha moment. It was a moment where I went, wow, you know? Right? Doesn't have to be just one aha moment in our lives either. Give me many, you know? Many at different points. One of the things about this model is that, yes, it looks like it comes to a point and that's it, but see how it opens up again? So if you could adequately to sort of build it, you build it like a 3D model where it goes in and then goes out and goes in and goes out. So it's meant to be an ongoing process. And in terms of community, that's what we're trying to do, always bring new people in. So there will always be another process of relational ministry, another process of evangelization, you know? And in our own lives, we can have multiple experiences of those aha moments, okay? So for people, this could look very different. So we go from relational ministry to evangelization. Somewhere in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit breaks through. We have the aha moment. A young person has the aha moment. And in that moment, you know, through that experience, people go, I want to know more. I know I've come across young people, so I just have a burning desire to know more about my faith. You know? What does that lead to? Systematic catechesis. Really getting into the message. What does it mean? What does our faith mean? What does the church mean? Systematic catechesis, breaking that open, explaining the gospel. People saying, I want to do some study. I need to go and get a Bachelor of Theology, or I need a I need to know more about my faith. Our theology, faith seeking understanding. Right? That's that experience after the aha moment. By itself, great. But it calls us to more, doesn't it? It calls us into service. Can't just be about knowing, it's also going to be about doing. So service, this core group, and then a ministry to the broader community. Okay? As a model, what it does, what the Wedge model does, it says it's okay to start off with a big group of people and end up with a core group of really committed people. It's okay to go, you know, have some social stuff. That's, at that point, that's all right. But don't be afraid or don't shy away from the fact that you probably need to introduce the gospel, the spiritual stuff, into the community, into the lives of young people. All right, okay. I said this model's been around for a very long time, and it has. In Brisbane, we started looking at the model. We're thinking, this is great. We're running workshops on it and talking to people about it, and it's excellent, but it's also a little wordy, and we wanted to make it simpler. So what we did was we just thought, let's take it and let's see if we can adapt it and make it a little more understandable for people. So we introduced, there is again, a couple of words to try and capture what each of these elements or these steps is about. So we put the word invite, the word form, the word challenge, and the word send. Okay. So as the person who ministers to young people, so the youth minister, what am I about doing? What am I doing? I'm inviting. I'm forming them. I'm challenging them. I'm sending them. As a young person, what am I experiencing? So the word underneath it is connected. It's the same, has the same meaning, but it's from the perspective of a young person. So as a young person, what am I doing? Well, I'm connecting with other young people. What am I doing? I'm growing in my faith and understanding of Jesus Christ. What am I doing? I'm choosing to live a particular life, make choices in my life about the direction I'm taking. And finally, I'm going out into the world to make a difference. So the words reflect the different perspectives, whether it's the minister or the young person, but they mean the same thing. Invite, form, challenge, send, connect, grow, choose, and go. Which leads us nicely into the last of the frameworks, last of the models, and that's the youth ministry framework. Invite, form, challenge, send. Jesus' communion mission is the vision for our archdiocese, of Brisbane Archdiocese. You could also look at Jesus' communion mission and say, well, it has three goals. Ooh, where else have we seen three goals in our discussion this afternoon? Yeah, comprehensive. See how that's integrated? Invite young people to connect with the message of Jesus. Evangelization. Form, helping young people to grow in their knowledge and faith. That's catechesis. Challenge, helping young people to choose to respond to the call of the gospel. Life discernment. Vocation. Right? Send, helping young people to go out to others with a sense of purpose and mission. Mission. Okay? So connect, grow, choose and go. The experience of young people. Invite, form, challenge, send. What we as ministers do. And the church words are all there, as I mentioned. So I'm not going to go through all that. We developed a multimedia around this. We got young people to share their experience of connecting, of growing, of choosing, of going. And they told their stories. And we set that out to people and said, if you want to use this as a process, here's a multimedia you can use. Broke it open for them in a visual and auditory way. And there's a little book that we produced called Ministry of Young People Dynamic Framework. Okay, so recapping all of this, going back to the beginning, models are there to help, not hinder, the development of our ministry of young people. Different models can happily coexist. Whether articulated or not, we are working, we are all working out of some youth ministry model. And naming our model helps us describe and share our methodology with others. Okay. I know that's a lot to take in. Yeah, dead zone. I've given you a lot of, you know, stuff to chew over, but, you know, that's unfortunately the reality. Just a quick recap again. What were the four models? What were the four models?
Comprehensive.
Pathways. Wedge. And framework, yeah? We'll just call it framework. Going back to the very beginning, let's see if I can go all the way back. As I'm going backwards, remember I showed you at the beginning, I said different paradigms reflecting different things. What I want you to do is have a think about, or quickly respond, because our time will be up. Okay. So these are sort of some criteria or categories that I put down there. I want you to think about, what do you think the comprehensive youth ministry paradigm is? Which one of those do you think it is?
Overall vision.
Exactly. Spot on. What is it doing? It's telling you what the overall vision is. Here are our goals. So definitely that. Definitely that. It does have a little bit of planning stuff in it. And if you look up comprehensive and you find there might be books out there, if not, you go online, have a research, you'll find somewhere a youth ministry grid, which sets up like different components for youth ministry, and it puts different areas of context for ministry. That's a planning tool, right? Definitely a planning tool. But overall, comprehensive is really an overall vision, yeah? What about pathways?
Developmental pattern.
It's about saying there's a process of growth. Okay, so we look at it. Okay, we can see how people grow differently. Okay, it's a little bit organizational because it talks about the different, you know, different types of steps, but it's definitely about developmental patterns. What about the wedge model? Maybe developmental, you know, it talks a bit about how people grow and they're changing, making different decisions. Sort of maybe organizational, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, it's in there. And what about the framework? Where does that fit in as well? Maybe a little bit about systems theory, you know, it's a bit of a systems approach, sort of looking at it and trying to sort of break it down into what are you doing in each step. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the key thing that I wanted to get across was that for me, in ministry with young people, I'm using all four of those models right now in the ministry that I'm a part of. And I don't even always think about it. But comprehensive underlies everything I do. Pathways I live with every day because I'm part of a team that has children's ministry as part of it. The wedge model helps me when I go to plan and to work with people to articulate for them that it's not all about numbers all the time, you know, and that it's not just about this or that. It can be both and. And finally, that final vision, the framework, will invite, form, challenge, send. It's an easy language to get across to people. What's your first step in ministry with young people? Invite them. No one can argue with that. You know, it's always the first step. Invite them. No one ever says yes to something they've never been asked to. No one ever turns up to an event they've never been invited to. And we've got something pretty great to invite them to, yeah? We've got something really great to invite them to. So I suppose in conclusion, I just wanted to say, you know, models are there to help us. They're not there to hinder us. Use them as you see fit. And I hope that really quick brushstroke of some models of ministry with young people has been helpful. So thank you very much for doing great in the dead zone, and I hope that's been of some benefit to you. So.
Thank you.
That was Michael Hart with Models of Youth Ministry. For more interviews, talks and shows, visit creadio.org.au.